Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
The setting: a quiet courtyard in Jerusalem, just outside the newly rebuilt walls. The evening is cool, and the sound of distant voices can be heard as the city winds down from the day's labor. Two men stand together, Malachi and Nehemiah. Malachi is a Jewish prophet who ministers in the post-exilic period, admonishing Israel for religious and moral laxity. Nehemiah is a Jewish leader and Persian official who orchestrates the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls and implements reforms to revitalize Israel's spiritual and communal life during the Persian period. Nehemiah looks thoughtfully at the setting sun.
It seems no matter how many stones we set in place, the true rebuilding is far slower, isn't it, Malachi?
Indeed, Nehemiah. The walls and gates are but the physical boundaries of our restoration, the hearts of our people. Now there lies a far more formidable ruin.
Nehemiah looks wistfully into the distance.
I've seen it in their eyes. The same people who cheered as we dedicated the wall now bicker over plots of land and deny the Levites their due. It's as though the law given by Moses is forgotten as soon as the ink dries on the scroll.
Malachi hesitates, wanting to choose his words carefully.
The law. It is more than forgotten, my friend. It is ignored when convenient, twisted when profitable. Our priests, who should guide them, stumble in darkness themselves. The covenant is broken in spirit, if not in letter.
Nehemiah nods.
I've done what I could do to pull them from their foreign alliances. Time and again, I have rebuked them. It seems like a never-ending battle. What do you say to them, Malachi? What words does the Lord give you?
Words of warning, Nehemiah, but also of hope. I tell them of a refiner's fire, of a launderer's soap. I speak of a day when offerings will again be pure, when our deeds will match our heritage as God's chosen. Yet I also warn them sharply, as you have, of the dangers of complacency and disobedience.
Once again, Nehemiah nods, his expression turning resolute.
And rightly so. We rebuild, not just for the sake of having walls, but to create a community that honors God. Your words, they cut to the heart, Malachi. They remind us that our external victories mean little if internally we are defeated by sin.
Precisely. And I speak of a messenger who will prepare the way, a harbinger of the covenant renewed. It's not merely about following the law, but understanding its spirit, embracing justice, mercy, and humility before our God.
Those are the foundations stronger than any stone, Malachi. Tell me, do you ever fear they will not listen? That our efforts will crumble like the walls did under Babylonian siege?
Fear. Often. But I also hold on to faith. Faith that though the night is dark, the dawn will come. That a remnant will seize the promise and carry the torch forward. Our task is to light the path as best we can, Nehemiah, and pray they choose to walk it.
Nehemiah looks around at the city, then back at Malachi.
Then let us keep striking flint to steel, Malachi. Let us keep speaking, acting, and building. For if God is with us, who can stand against us? Not the might of empire, nor the rot of corruption.
Nor the indifference of the comfortable. Let us then persist, Governor, as stewards of a promise, as watchmen of a dawn yet to break.
Nehemiah speaks while extending his hand.
Together, Prophet, for the sake of all who call this place home.
Malachi shakes Nehemiah's outstretched hand and nods in affirmation.
Together, Nehemiah, for the sake of the promise.
Thank you.
Malachi, the last of the 12 minor prophets in the Hebrew Bible, is a somewhat enigmatic figure about whom very little personal information is known. His book, comprising just 4 chapters, marks the end of prophetic authorship in the Old Testament. Malachi means "my messenger" in Hebrew. There is debate among scholars as to whether Malachi is the prophet's actual name or a title derived from the book's content, especially given the first verse of chapter 3, in which God says, "I will send my messenger." Malachi likely ministers around 450 to 430 BC, after the return from Babylonian exile and the rebuilding of the temple. This is a time of social and religious reformation under leaders like Nehemiah and Ezra. Malachi addresses issues such as corrupt priesthood, social injustice, marital unfaithfulness, and a general sense of apathy and skepticism towards God's justice. He emphasizes the importance of proper worship and living out the covenant faithfully. In Christianity, Malachi is often seen as a forerunner to John the Baptist, particularly because of his prophecy about the messenger who will prepare the way for God. This is linked to New Testament references in the Gospels where Jesus identifies John the Baptist with Elijah, echoing Malachi's prophecy of Elijah's return. Malachi employs a distinctive dialogic or disputation style, where he presents arguments in a pattern of assertion, interrogation, and refutation. This style is effective in addressing the spiritual and moral issues of his time. Scholars often focus on this writing style, in which the prophet presents an accusation against the people, follows with a supposed rebuttal from the people, and concludes with a divine resolution. Nehemiah and Malachi are two pivotal figures tasked with leading a spiritual and communal reformation in post-exilic Jerusalem. It is possible that they overlapped. We know that Nehemiah worked closely with Ezra, the scribe. In the Jewish Talmud, there is some discussion suggesting Malachi may be the same person as Ezra, but this is speculative and not widely accepted. We open today's episode with a fictional exchange between Nehemiah and Malachi that illuminates not only the tangible struggles of rebuilding physical structures, but also the deeper, more arduous task of mending human hearts and reviving a covenant relationship with God. As we stand on the cusp of dusk, with Nehemiah and Malachi contemplating the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem, we are reminded of the essential truth that structures, no matter how robust, are mere shells if the souls within them are not aligned with divine principles. The walls they discuss are symbols of protection and unity, yet they echo the vulnerability and fragmentation within the community they encircle. Malachi's role, as voiced through his poignant interaction with Nehemiah, extends beyond mere prophecy. It is a clarion call for introspection and transformation. He challenges the community to transcend mere compliance with laws and to embody the spirit of those divine statutes, justice, mercy, and humility. These virtues are the true foundations upon which a resilient and righteous community can stand. Let us then, inspired by their conversation, consider our own lives. Are there walls we have built that serve more to separate than to shelter? Have we, too, allowed the letter of the law to overshadow its spirit? In our own communities and churches, are we addressing the fissures of injustice, the erosion of faith, and the decay of morality with the same fervor we apply to our personal ambitions and comforts? Through Malachi's words and Nehemiah's actions, we are called to a higher standard of spiritual and communal life. Let their dialogue inspire us to break down the barriers of indifference and to build up the bonds of brotherhood, ensuring that our faith is as vibrant and visible as the walls of Jerusalem, standing strong against the sands of time. Father, as we ponder the teachings of Malachi and the leadership of Nehemiah, grant us the courage to face the ruins within our own hearts. Help us to rebuild not just with stone, but with steadfast spirit. Guide us to be not only keepers of your law, but also bearers of your love. Empower us to be instruments of your peace and architects of a community founded on your eternal principles of justice, mercy, and humility. May our efforts be steadfast and our faith unwavering as we strive to embody the change you seek in this world. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.